I hope that we can keep the earth a little bit calmer here than some of the shake, rattling, and rolling that you've had in the Southland recently. And so Brother Burton's subject kind of talks about something solid. His title is Rooted, Grounded, and Settled. Brother Burton.
Thank you very much, Brother Herb and Tom, for your prayer. Sister Nancy and I are very pleased to be here in Sacramento this year, and we want to bring to you the love and the greetings of your brethren in New Zealand and also in Australia. We had a nice convention in Melbourne. There were about 120 of the brethren there, and from there we went around the circle in Australia, winding up at Perth, where there were about 8. We also want to bring you the love and greetings of the brethren in Los Angeles. They voted last week to do that also. Our lesson is found essentially in the book of Colossians, and reading from the second chapter, we find that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossians and also to the brethren at Laodicea. And he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Here the Apostle Paul is speaking to the brethren, to the church. I like to think when he says to the Laodiceans, remember that was the last church that was mentioned in Revelation, and he's telling them that they were to be knit together in love. Now there might have been some dissension between brethren at one time or other, but they were to be knit together. And because there was a change of dispensation, this was the time when the Jew and the Gentile were to come together as members of the body. And he says that these are to work together in the unity of the Spirit. But he says that they are to be knit together in the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now we realize that there are many mysteries in the Scripture. The mystery of Christ in the church, the mystery of the 7 golden candlesticks, the mystery of Babylon the Great. But here we believe that this mystery that the Apostle is speaking about is the fact that the Gentiles have now been able to come into the body of Christ. They are now called because, remember, Israel, at the time of our Lord, just before our Lord was crucified, he said to Israel, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathered chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house, Israel, is left unto you desolate." And this was a benefit to we as Gentiles, because now the opportunity to come into this relationship as brethren was given to us. Thanks be to God. And then he says that this was a mystery not only of the Jew and the Gentile coming together, but it's in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's much in the scriptures that are treasures, truth, little gems of truth that come to light to us from time to time. But it's because it's the Holy Spirit that is working in our mind. The Lord is dealing with us as brethren, as children. And he says because of this, in the 7th verse, that we are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him, in Christ. Whether they be Jew or whether they be Gentile. Remember, at the beginning of the age, there were many Jews that were, you might say, converted to Christianity. They came into the body. But he says that they were to be rooted and built up and established in tradition. You know, they had a lot of traditions there with the Pharisees. They had all kinds of traditions. And they still have these traditions. But we're to be rooted and grounded in the faith. Not just a matter of faith. You know, all men have not faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God and to come to him. But we are established in the faith. And what is that faith? It's the faith that draws us into this one body of Christ. Yes, it's not tradition. But then we are all taught of God, he says. In John, the 6th chapter and the 45th verse, he says, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Called of God. Taught of God. And how are we taught of God? Well, the apostle is really quoting this same text from Isaiah 54:13-14 for your notes. But Paul saying that we have been taught of God through the Holy Spirit. And I like the words that Paul tells us, gives us in 1 Corinthians. Remember the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, taught of God. The Heavenly Father himself has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know all things that are freely given to us of God. What a wonderful scripture that is. Given to us by our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. Some things that we can hardly imagine. But this is the word of truth. Given to us by God. And for this, it's because of this he is tells us that we have been established in the truth. We search the deep things of God to be grounded. And the word grounded means to be established. Not in error, but in truth. There's a lot of error in the world today. But where is the truth? It's in the Word of God. And in Colossians, the 1st chapter, he tells us if, in the 23rd verse, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, whereof we have been grounded. And this word grounded means the same as a foundation. A foundation is to be secure and steady, not moved about by every wind of doctrine. A lot of winds blowing today. But we are to be grounded and settled. And in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us in the 10th verse, Hebrews 1:10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." It's the same word as being settled. We are settled on a sure foundation. And Strong tell us that this word settled or foundation means to be immovable. Can we be found immovable in the faith? Or are we going to be moved about by all the shaking that has occurred? We realize that Paul is giving us a warning insofar as this is concerned, returning back to the second chapter of Colossians, in the 8th verse, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Yes, we can be spoiled through vain deceit. And this vain deceit is what Paul was really talking about there when it comes down to the philosophy. He was talking about the Jewish sophistry, those traditions that they had. And vain deceit, according to Strong, indicates it's the empty delusions. They have nothing of value. But being rooted and grounded in Him, we're to beware lest we be spoiled through this philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments or the elements of the world, and not after Christ. Being rooted and grounded, developed, he says we're to be developed also in love. We're to embrace all the scriptural standards that the Lord and the apostles have given to us, and we're to harmonize all these thoughts. If they don't harmonize, we can't accept them. But we do these things that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Isn't that what Paul tells us? Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we don't rightly divide, we can be swayed by all these traditions of men, not being established in the faith. The Apostle Paul also tells us that we are to stand firm in the faith, in the truth, and as the Malachi tells us that we're in this evil day or in a day of trial. He says, "Who shall stand when he appeareth?" Are you able to stand when he appears? It's similar to the words of the Apostle John in the 6th chapter of Revelation. Under the 6th seal, he talks about the time in which we live. And he says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Only those that are firm in the faith are able to withstand during this day when the winds blow, and there are a lot of different winds blowing, John says that the winds are being held back. Hold back the four winds until the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. Doesn't say that they aren't blowing. They're being restrained, held back, until the church is complete. And once it's complete, the winds are really going to begin to blow. And when they blow, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And if it were not stopped, what happens? There would be no flesh saved. But thanks be to God that we know the plan, that these winds will cease. They will stop blowing, because the church with our Lord is this mighty angel coming down from God out of heaven with a chain in his hand, is going to bind the old devil and stop the world's troubles. Yes, is the devil bound? I think the devil is bound. He's bound to destroy everything he can possibly do. Yes, and that's the only way he's bound. And so it is, brethren, that as these winds blow and the earth will shake. Well, we've seen some shaking. But you remember Haggai says that there's going to be a tremendous shaking too. He's going to shake the heavens and he's going to shake the earth. And our heavens are being shaken. We can see that. Not only the nominal heavens, but our heavens also. And what's the shaking doing? Is taking out all the tares, those that are imitation wheat. Yes? And so it is that we can't judge. God is the judge. But the shaking is taking place. And those only who are established and grounded and settled in the faith are going to be able to withstand in this evil day. And then when the shaking is finished, he says, and then the desire of all nations will come. What a grand and wonderful day that will be. Yes, along this line, Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 27th verse, Hebrews 12:27, and this word, yet once more, me defining the things that have been prophesied, this word yet once more signifies or denotes the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken or are not shaken may remain. Therefore, the word wherefore should look in the diaglot, and I think it means therefore. After these things have occurred, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I like the diglot on that also, where he says, may we hold fast the favor that we may serve God acceptably. Yes. Let us ever hold fast this word of truth. As the trials may come upon us, we're admonished to have patience, waiting for the establishment of the kingdom, as we've heard several lessons during the convention. The Apostle James tells us in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse, be patient, therefore, brethren, for the presence of the Lord, unto the coming of the Lord. King James, but the word is presence. Be patient, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. You heard Brother Grecky's lesson last night. Here we're waiting for the kingdom, waiting for the time when the rain will come, showers of blessing. And so we must be patient as we wait. And then in the first chapter of James, I like the second through the fourth verses. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so it is that as we have these various trials of faith, because of the shaking that can take place, Peter tells us in the first epistle, it's the trial of your faith. Well, is it only a trial? Again, I like to diglot on that. I'm sure you all have read that. It's the proof of your faith. Our faith is being proven, perhaps by our trials. But the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Being rooted in Christ, we also have to be rooted and grounded in love. For that is really the principal thing. And the apostle mentions that it was because this business of the Jew and the Gentile coming together, they couldn't have much love one for the other. Remember, the Gentiles were thought of as dogs. Let the dogs eat of the rich man's table, picture. But here he was saying that we have to be rooted and grounded in love, one for another. There may not be any Jews here, but we're all Gentiles. We too have to be rooted and grounded in love for our brethren. Love for the truth, love for the brethren. And so the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the third chapter, in the 14th verse, tells us, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit. In the inner man, what is the inner man? It's this new mind, this new creation. This is the thing that's being developed. Actually, the new creature is really just a mental thing, isn't it? It's something our new mind is being developed and prepared for all these experiences, by these experiences of life. That we might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. A wonderful admonition. That we might be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying. Now, when unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, sometimes we ask for things, but the Lord is able to give us more than what we ask for. You know what the apostle is saying? Abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power that works in us? It's the Holy Spirit. What else is there? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. And so, as we look to these things, being rooted and grounded in love, remember there's one chapter that the Apostle Paul talked about. Which one is that? The one on love? 1 Corinthians 13. Just reading a couple of verses there. The first two, maybe the last. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. Now we've all heard a lot of clanging and banging around, as though we have all knowledge, but we don't have all knowledge. We are growing in grace and knowledge. The truth is growing brighter and brighter until we get to the kingdom, until that perfect day. And so we can't say that we know all things. We're still searching. Search the scripture. Search and see. There is a mind that no mortal can go. Search we may for many years, still some new rich gem appears. And if those little rich gems appear, and if it's in harmony with the truth, in harmony with the plan, we can accept those little gems of truth. They might be a little different than what we once knew, but there's no reason why we can't change. Nothing wrong with change, as long as it's in harmony with the plan and with God's character, his love, his mercy, as long as it's in harmony with his will for us. If we can accept these things, our brother Russell changed. He saw more clear some things. He said the subject hasn't changed, but our understanding has improved. It's clarified. We can do the same. And so he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, this is the principal thing. He says, I am nothing. And then he says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these things, but the greatest of these is love. And so, as we're rooted and grounded, settled in the faith, we first have to be planted, though, before we can be grounded. Planted, and this is only by coming into relationship as sons of God, through Christ. And remember, we talk about being planted. Anybody can remember texts where we're planted? Romans, the 6th chapter. 6th chapter in the first couple of verses, where Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Well, we're not to live in sin any longer. Why? Because in the first 4-5 chapters of this book of Romans, Paul is telling us how sin entered into the world and how we have been cleansed, justified, and come out from that into a condition of sonship. of God. Yes, we have been justified. We've been made right. And so therefore, he says, how can we live any longer therein? Remember, in the 8th chapter, he goes on to say, if we walk after the flesh, sin after the flesh, we shall die. But we're to walk after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit, we live. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, as we have, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we see that being in the likeness of his resurrection, death is really the avenue to the resurrection, isn't it? If we don't die, we're not going to be resurrected. And so Paul says that dying, we have a part in that first resurrection. What a wonderful thing that will be. How do we die? What is it that's resurrected? You know the answer. It's the new creature that is resurrected to a spiritual plane. We know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. And therefore, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. A similar picture to this is found in John, the 12th chapter, where he talks about the seed being planted. And in the John 12, reading from the 23rd verse, the apostle says, and Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, actually. The brethren were all there listening to him. It was right after he had resurrected Lazarus. Lazarus was there. And Jesus answered and said unto them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What was dying? Our Lord, as a man, was dying. He brought forth much fruit, but he also died and was resurrected in the first resurrection as a new creature, a new body, a spiritual body. And if it die, if it didn't die, wouldn't bring forth any fruit, would it? And so that's what he's telling us. We must also die if we're going to bring forth any fruit. And then going on, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. A beautiful promise. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And so our Lord referred to himself as dying, bringing forth much fruit, bringing forth the first fruit. Remember, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter tells us about the wonderful resurrection. And if Christ be not dead, then we of all men are most miserable. But that character likeness Paul defines as the fruit of the Spirit. this character likeness that we develop during this time of preparation, preparation of the new mind, the new creation. Paul says it's like the fruits of the Spirit. What are these fruits of the Spirit? Well, it's all outlined for us in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and you could spend a whole hour just talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We've heard lessons on that. But he says the first one of these is love. Love is the principal thing. And so we must develop love. It's a fruit. And if we don't develop any fruit, if the tree doesn't bring forth proper fruit, what happens? Like little green apples, maybe. It has to be ripe and prepared for a place in the kingdom. Yes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I like the diaglot on that. Against such there is no law. That's a peculiar phrase. But the diaglot says, concerning such things, there is no law. And isn't that a little more clear, at least to my mind? And so being rooted in love, grounded with a sure foundation, let us be settled with an immovable faith. Jeremiah summarizes the Christian character for us. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, when he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do we fear when the heat cometh? Well, yeah, I've heard a statement, if you can't stand the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen. But we don't fear when the heat comes, because it's these trials of our faith, the proving of our faith, that may be the heat. And it's these things that are refining the gold. Remember, it takes heat to refine gold. As gold tried in the fire. Yes, we don't fear when the heat cometh or in the year of drought. Sometimes we might have a lot of drought. The Lord gives, and the Lord can take it away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, Job said that. Can we be as faithful as was Job? Yes. And we shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither cease from yielding fruit. And how do we continue to yield fruit? Let us show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And eventually the fruit will be made manifest. So then, brethren, as we press along in the narrow way, may we continue to grow in grace and in knowledge. May we be rooted and grounded and settled in the faith, laying hold on the hope that is set before us, so that when we come to the end of our course, may we hear the words of our Lord saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Burton. We appreciate very much the beautiful aspect of God's plan that allows us to be rooted, grounded, and settled through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those encouraging words.
Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, as we humbly and gratefully bow our heads and our hearts before Thee, we do thank Thee for the privilege that we have of coming together as a group of Thy children to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we do thank Thee for Thy wonderful truth and for Thy Holy Spirit that has been shed abroad in our hearts and our minds, that we may know something concerning Thee and Thy wonderful plans and purposes. We thank Thee now for this convention, and we pray that Thou will continue to be with us as we wait before Thee. We pray that Thou will forgive us wherein we have said anything amiss this day, and continue to guide and direct each one as we endeavor to walk this narrow way that leads to life and godliness. Now these favors and these blessings we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.